Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is that time, everybody. Time for our player spotlight here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. And joining us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, a member of the Seahawks offensive line guard, Damian Lewis, is with us. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, sir. How y'all doing?
We're doing all right. You know what? I'm curious, you know, fans and everybody watching the game at home, when you have a game like this, we take it really hard, Damian. We hang on to this and we stew on it and we wring our hands over it. How long does that last for you as a player? Is it just a matter of you watching the game tape and then, boom, you're on to the next opponent? Or does that sit with you for a while?
You know, it's a really tough game, you know, a tough loss, you know, for the lose like that at home in front of the crowd. But, you know, it's a long season. We got 17 games, can't get stuck on that game, got to move on. It's in the past now, and, you know, we're just looking forward to this week, you know, building on these days and trying to get better.
Damian, have you guys looked at the film yet?
Yeah, I look at it on my own. You know, okay. Today, you know, we look at the film together, but on my own, I watched the film already.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if you – I used to tape games or record them, so I knew kind of going in what to expect. You do that? Is that a ritual for you every time? You want to make sure you look at the film before you look at it as a team?
Yeah, that's something that you want to do, you know, go back over the game and just see the things that you need fixing, what you did good in the game, so you can just build on it for next week, the next upcoming week. But, yeah, that's something that, I'm real hard on.
Well, now that I know you'll watch it as a team with your position groups and everything later, as you said, but you've gone through and watched it. So, in your mind, what was your takeaway? What was the difference for the offense in the first half compared to the second half?
Yeah, some things that we definitely did great at, you know, we came out fast, putting points on, and we established the run early, the passing game, you know, coming out, you know, we just got to pick up on it in the second.
Hey, Damian, you see Chris Carson running hard, that's got to be a cool guy to block for, right? Because I know you guys are physical. You want to run the ball and probably get you fired up when you see him running hard and running people over.
Chris is going to be Chris. You know, hard nosed running back. Just going to get all the yards he can get. And he a team player. You know, everybody love him here. So, you know, Chris is going to be Chris. Great back. You know, I'm glad that I'm blocking for him.
Hey, Damian, just physically, how are you doing? Because I know there was some question as to whether you were going to be able to go for this game, I think, dealing with a groin injury. Did you feel that during the game? Did it limit you at all?
No, sir. I'm 100%. I'm feeling great, you know, healthier than I ever been, you know. Just a little ache here, but, you know, no setback, and I'm just ready to go. Looking forward to this week.
Hey, Damian, do you lift hard? Like, what's your schedule as far as – I know your lifting in the off season is probably a little more rigorous, but during the regular season, do you adjust your routine?
Yeah, I try to, you know, stay doing the stuff that I do on the off season. You know, some players, you know, hold back from it, but I just try to stay consistent. Everything that I do in the off season, try to bring it in, you know, do what Ivan have for me and try to do my own. So, like a 3-4-day workout.
Okay, so instead of squatting like 680 pounds, you're squatting like 500. No, I'm kidding. Tell us the numbers, though. Well, you had some ridiculous squat number. Is that right, as far as poundage goes?
Yeah, well, you know, in season, you know, I probably just keep 315 or 365 and do like 6 sets or 8, you know, like that. But, man, ridiculous, you know, during the season.
So what's the squat number, though? Come on, Damian. You can brag to us.
The highest I ever did was like 6. What I did, like 650, 655. That's it.
If I tried that, my knees would be pushed into my ankles, and I would be about 3 feet tall after that. So that's
yeah, well, I don't want you to get on that. Hurt yourself, then.
Hey, Damian, just give us a thought on what it was like out there. A packed building, sounded like they were just absolutely going bananas. Again, not the outcome you wanted, but boy, for a majority of that game, that crowd, what was that feeling like for you since you hadn't really had a chance to experience that?
Yeah, that was my first time, you know, under the crowd at that stadium, and, you know, it was going nuts. Everything was wild. Like, I couldn't even hear myself think out there, you know, like the crowd was blowing the place don't already have no roof, but they were blowing the place away, you know. Wave, I felt the vibration on my feet. So, you know, that crowd loud out there.
But you played at Tiger Stadium, right? And you probably had some pretty pretty big crowds there too, right?
Yes, sir. You know, it feel the same, you know. I just had to get back used to it, you know. Like a year away from the fans and, you know, just got to get back used to it. Like, it was amazing, you know. I enjoyed it. I felt them, you know. I felt them through, coming, shivering through my body. So, you know, they were making some noise yesterday.
Hey, does the fact that the season is 17 games long now, does that make it any easier to deal? I mean, you never want to lose. You never want to lose in this fashion. But, you know, this is not a conference game, and it is one more game in the regular season. Does that make it a little easier to deal with?
You know, you want to win every game. You want to treat every game like a Super Bowl game. So, you know, nobody want to lose. So, the couple, all the games that we got left, you know, we just got to keep our same mentality, just keep building and, you know, learn from our mistakes and just, you know, get the top of down wood.
Hey, Damian, one of our favorite guys to play clips from is Ed Orgeron, just because his voice is so – it's comical. I mean, it's cool. It's fun to listen to him. But do you keep in touch with him? And tell us about your relationship with Coach Ed.
Yeah, I got a great relationship with Coach. You know, to be honest, without Coach coming down to the small JUCO, I probably wouldn't be here, you know. He was the only big-time coach, you know. Really, D1 Coach came down when I was in JUCO and came to get me, took a chance with me. You know, nobody never heard of me, so Coach O drove down there by himself and told me that, you know, he want me on the team. And he drove me home. The next day, he drove me home to my family. You know, just like, you know, everything was normal, like he knew me before. So, you know, we got a great relationship. You know, I love Coach, and I know he loved me. You know, I play for him. If I had four more years in college, I'd play for him again, you know.
Do you have an imitation? Do you do an imitation of Coach Orgeron?
D-Lo, go get him, boy.
Now, be man. Honest, when you guys would sit in meetings, probably when you first got there, would you look at each other and kind of smile or laugh when you heard him talk?
Yeah, you know, he goes look you in the eye. It's just funny, you know. He's funny, but, you know, he loves the players, and, you know, there's somebody you just want to play for him. But, you know, he going to keep us going when it's time to work. You know, it's time to work.
Yep. Do you have a Pete Carroll impression?
Pete, you know, coach, funny, you know, motivation coach, you know. I'm still learning, you know, all the jokes.
Well, we'll ask you in a couple of years. Maybe you'll have yeah. Pete down by then.
Hey, Damian, it's good to talk to you, man. I wish we were talking to you after a big win. This was a tough one, but again, a long season, 15 games sitting in front of you. So hopefully things get turned around this coming weekend. Thanks so much for taking the time as always.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There you go, Damian Lewis of your Seattle Seahawks in our player spotlight. It's time for the one, the only El Hombre.
Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What? El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
He's with us every Tuesday right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Joining us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, he is Michael Bradley. Hello, Michael.
When I saw on social media that you guys had Damian Lewis on before me, I got excited. I thought it was the star of Billions.
Yeah, and he was also in Band of Brothers.
Yeah, and he was...
Yes, and he was also in... what was the one with Carrie? Homeland.
Homeland, thank you.
That's right.
That's a great show.
Well, and also An Unfinished Life. He plays a creep in that. It's a Robert Redford movie. You seen that one, El Hombre? An Unfinished
Life? I don't know that movie.
I never even heard of that one.
It's really good.
Don't know that one.
It's really good.
Wow. Well, no, that was the guard of your Seattle Seahawks here. So we were talking.
Okay.
But, you know, rough weekend for the Seahawks. And, you know, when things go wrong, we hope that it trickles down to the rest of the NFC West. And, you know, maybe the Eagles could have done us all a favor and taken out the San Francisco 49ers. But no, they let the 49ers walk away with that one, 17-11. What? We don't ask much of you guys. Couldn't you have come up with a big win there?
You shouldn't ask much of the Eagles. They're not a very good team. I mean, their quarterback completed four passes in the second half. They had first and they actually had a 91-yard play, and they didn't score.
No way.
Wait, what?
they had the ball on their own, like, 1 yard line and threw a pass play down to the five. Something was like a 95-yard pass, something like that. And they didn't score. They didn't score a point. They ended up with first and goal on the one, and they didn't score a point. Not
they
very good.
Turn the ball over? Or did they get stopped four times?
No, first down, incomplete pass. Second down, they ran the ball, and it didn't work out. Third down, incomplete pass, and they tried a trick play on fourth down that failed.
The Philly special?
It was not a good series.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the Philly not so special.
Yeah.
No, here, I'm looking at it. Yeah, yeah. It was first and 10 at the Philly 3. Hurts deep right to Watkins for 91 yards.
Did you not trust El Hombre?
Well, no, I'm just trying to see the sequence here.
You're verifying it, making sure he's not crazy.
I'm just seeing the ball go backwards.
That's okay. Look, if it's math, you should check me.
Yeah.
First and goal at the San Francisco 6, followed by first and 11 at the San Francisco 11. So there was a penalty that moved you back. And then they got it first and goal at the San Francisco 1, second and goal, third and goal at the – yeah, boy, that is brutal.
That's about as bad as it gets. 91 yards playing, you don't get a point. So this is not a good team.
Well, 91 yards. You can turn to your Phillies. You're still hanging in there?
Oh, please. Stop it. No, stop it. They lost the Orioles last night.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
They had four hits against the Orioles.
They're pretty much
and right now it's 0-0 in the bottom of the third in a bullpen game. All right?
The Orioles are.
I'm going down tomorrow night. If they lose tonight, you guys should buy the MLB package just for tomorrow night, so
what?
You can listen.
What are you
going to
do?
I'm 11 rows behind the dugout. I'm going to yell at these people like you've never heard.
Oh man!
If they lose tonight, and if they get swept, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You could be done with baseball. Right now, they are tied. The Orioles and the Diamondbacks are tied for the worst record in baseball at 48-102. They've both lost 102 games.
The Phillies got swept by the Diamondbacks, okay?
Well, the Mariners lost 2 out of 3 to the Diamondbacks here in Seattle, so we feel your pain to an extent there.
Yeah, well, this is horrific. I mean, right now, if you're a Philly sports fan, right, so you get the Eagles losing that game and looking desultory is a nice way to put it, all right? You get the Phillies who are clearly showing the heart of a cowardly lion, and Ben Simmons is finally saying he's not showing up. Actually, he's not. It's being said through sources. Because this guy, who doesn't like to shoot, also apparently doesn't like to talk. I hope they let him rot. Pay him. Pay him the money. Don't play him and don't trade him.
Really?
Tell Ben Simmons to practice his free throws. Good night.
Just let him sit.
It's not just the free throws. He can't shoot a 15-footer, a 10-footer in the game. He has no character and no heart. And I said this when he was drafted here in Philadelphia. You're not going to like him. He's a bum. And he is. He's not a winner. He's not a winner. He put him in the category with James Harden, with Carmelo, the guys that don't win championships because winning isn't what they really care about.
Hey, what is your take on the taunting rules in the NFL? There was a costly one here with the Seahawks where everybody looking at it going, you got to be kidding me. And as we said earlier, I understand the spirit of it. You don't want guys rubbing it in the other guys' faces and being over the top. But you know, a fist pump and a yell and walking away, and that's it feels like they're trying to legislate out the emotion of football. Did you see much of it over the weekend?
Oh yeah, there was all over the place. And I'll tell you, you know, by the way, red zone. I'll say it. I've said it 100 times on this program, and I cannot say it enough. The greatest invention ever in the history of mankind.
Yes.
Forget the printing press. Forget blacktop. Forget beer.
Blacktop.
Red zone's the best thing ever. My father called that man's second greatest invention.
Blacktop.
He hated the beach.
I like that.
The beach would be great if there were no sand on it. Yeah. So, but no, I saw a lot of it. The spirit, as you said, they're trying to prevent me from making an interception in front of you, standing over you, taunting you, telling you you're nothing, pointing fingers and doing whatever, you getting up, hitting me, I hit you, bench-clearing brawl. So they don't want that. But you can't legislate the celebration and the emotion out of you. You just can't do it. It's wrong.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, is how many bench-clearing brawls have we had? I mean, you know, if that's – and I've heard that, you know, that used before, that, like, oh, it's a big – I mean, you don't – it's not commonplace in the NFL. Typically, it's like what Mark Schlereth said. It's frontier justice. You know, you get them back some other way. But, yeah, and also, you know, they're very inconsistent, Michael, because Julio Jones, which I think is really cool when he does this, but when he spins the ball – like, if he makes a catch, he spins the ball, and that thing, I swear, it stays up for, like, 35 seconds,
He's so impressed by the spin.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, that could have been taunting. I mean, where do you draw the line? That's the problem.
I agree. I mean, what's taunting, what's not? I think you're going to see this back, the NFL back off this. When I see him do that, all I think of one thing, Dave, and you'll probably be with me in this, battling tops.
Yes, thank you.
What is that?
Yeah, it was it was a game.
It's a game. You had it was a game. Everybody had a top that you would have a tab with string on it. You'd wind the tab around the string around the top. You'd put it into a little slot, and you had four of these slots in a circle, which was like a rounded, like an upside down bowl. Everybody would pull at the same time, and the tops would start spinning into each other and knock the other ones down, and whichever one was still standing was the winner.
Yes. So the string
was there technique to it, or was it just
luck?
It was dumb luck. It was like electronic football, yes. But it was a heck of a lot of fun.
Exactly.
Electronic football, is that the one where the vibrating pieces would just move along?
Yeah, exactly. And I always had – I'd give the ball to the running back, and he would just go around and around and around and around. He would never go forward.
What a game. This thing just vibrates. These things just move in whichever direction.
If you're a kid playing that
– you would spend hours setting them up, right? You had just the perfect strategy, right? You'd put your ball carry behind like seven players. There's no way the other team's going to get him. And as soon as you turn it on, he turns around and goes towards his own end zone.
Yeah, that's right. Safety.
Did you catch any of the Manning broadcast last night, Michael?
No, I had to have the NFL game on the bottom set because I was watching something with my wife, and when it's on the bottom set, there's no sound. So I'd like to see it, but again, I think I said this last week, I'd probably like to see it just the highlights.
Yeah.
Not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine an hour or two of it would get a little tiresome.
Well, Dave watched it. I really was excited to watch it, and I completely spaced it. I got into the Mariner game, so I didn't really watch much of the game. But Dave watched it and said it was pretty good.
It was kind of interesting. I mean, I think you're right, though, Michael. If you get, you know, there was a few sound bites, like him being paranoid about the Patriots bugging their facility.
Right, talking in the shower.
Yeah, talking in the shower. All those little things. That kind of covered it. But the funniest thing is when they start giving each other a hard time, you know, and Eli was making fun of his head and how big his forehead is. And,
I know. And that's what brothers do. I mean, and I would imagine these guys probably have done it their whole lives. I mean, you just go back to that ESPN commercial where they're walking through the hallways and Peyton kicks them in the butt gives them a wet willy, and then he flicked the ear. And the best is Archie turns around and gives him that look.
Yeah, the dad look is classic.
I have to come back there.
Well, that was another thing. He got a note. I think Peyton got a note from his dad, and it said something about, you know, give Eli more of a chance, and then said something negative about Peyton, and he's like, thanks a lot, Dad. You know, it's good stuff. But, you know, you could probably maybe.
It's a nice gimmick.
Tune in once a quarter, you know, hear a couple of funny jokes, and then go back to the game probably.
Yeah, and that's probably what I will do.
Yeah. Do you feel like we were talking about it earlier with Mark Schlereth, just wondering if they're sort of cannibalizing their own product there because they're running the game on ESPN and they're running that on ESPN2, I guess. And I understand you can charge, you know, you're getting double the rate, I guess, for commercials running on each one. But at the same time, the ratings, I'm wondering how that works out. If they just combine the two and say that was our rating for the night, or if the Manning thing is taking away from the regular broadcast, or how that works.
That's I mean, it's the combination. Now it's, okay, how many people are watching streaming on the app? How many people are watching on their computer? How many people are watching ESPN2? They're watching this, they're watching that. So I don't think they're really cannibalizing. They're going with the entire thing. And they're saying, you know, and I would imagine if you're buying time, you get the whole package. So you're going to get on, you may not get the same ad at the same time, but you're going to get something on ESPN, ESPN2, and, you know, so I don't think advertisers are getting shortchanged at all, and I don't think ESPN is. There's no way they'd be doing it if they were. They're not dumb, like, hey, this is a great idea, but won't it take viewers away and cost us money? Oh, who cares? We're really altruistic, and we love our fans. No, ESPN's never going to get caught doing that.
Hey, we only got about a minute left before the pregame show here, but of the young quarterbacks, what do you make of what you've seen from Zach Taylor and Lawrence and Jones and Fields now? What do you think? Because it's been very hot and cold depending on which one you're looking at.
Yeah, and depending on when you're looking at them. So, I mean, you know, Zach Wilson throws four interceptions the other day. Fields came in and then they played well, but they have two pick sixes or something, or they at least one. The Bears had one pick six, and Lance didn't get in against the Eagles. Garoppolo played the whole game. Lawrence's team is 0-2, and he looks good at times and not. They're rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. They're not, and again, I don't think any of them other than Lawrence has the potential to be great. Fields, we'll see. So, Let's see what happens. But so far, they've been underwhelming. And I'm all about Derek Carr because the guy's thrown for 800-plus yards. It's remarkable what he's done.
He's a guy that Dave and I have sat here from a distance, not watching every game, going, I don't understand all of the complaints about the guy. You look at his numbers every year, and he looks to be good. I know the team doesn't win a ton. But, yeah, I'm kind of pulling for him as well. He just seems like he probably deserves some goodness there.
He does, and you're right. He's not great, but he's certainly not bad, and he's not the reason the Raiders stink. I mean, the Raiders have stunk the last couple of years because their defense is horrific.
Michael, we appreciate
it. Thanks, Michael.
Great stuff. We'll do it again next week.
So long, suckers.
There you go. Michael Bradley with us generally at 5 o'clock every Tuesday, but we got Mariners pregame coming up, so short segment with him. So that'll wrap it up for us for the day. I want to thank our guests today, Mark Schlereth, Mike Blowers, John Clayton, Damian Lewis, and El Hombre, Michael Bradley. You'll get part two of that Blowers conversation tomorrow on tomorrow's show. If you missed any of today's show, all you need to do is head to 710sports.com, click the podcast tab, and you can scroll down to our picture, click on that. You'll find everything you missed each and every day waiting for you right there. We got the Mariners. We got the A's. Call it right now, Dave. Win or loss tonight? What do you think?
They're going to win, baby.
They're going to win?
Yes.
Talking to, is it going to be Mariner fever when we come in here tomorrow?
Yes, it is.
I want Mariner fever to happen. I can't wait. I'm excited about the game. So enjoy the game, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.